Have you ever wondered what grace sounds like? I think it sounds like water. Water lapping on a beach like a lullaby. Water burbling in a stream like laughter. Water dripping from leaves, sounding like falling tears. Water pouring from a jug is the opposite of thirst. Water splashing into a font is soaked with the loch, deep fullness of the love of God, saying, "This is my beloved." Water of Jordan pouring over the head of Christ, willingly, needlessly welcomed, one with us, echoes still in every baptism. When we hear the water of baptism poured over the head of one of us, adult or child, that splash and drip and pour, we hear all that. We hear that echo of the grace of God, and we are welcomed willingly, one with Christ, beloved. We recall that we are beloved. So I think grace sounds like water. Well, good morning, everyone. It is lovely to see you all here and to be back with you after a couple of weeks in the sunshine in Italy. Neil and I had a lovely, lovely holiday, but it's lovely to be back as well in amongst you and getting back into the thick of things. We welcome to this morning little William, who's going to be baptised, and all his family and his friends. We have tea and coffee through in the church after the service, so please feel free to stay if you've time to do that and join us through in the hall. I have a number of intimations to give that are not in the order of service, so I would sit back, get comfortable, and be patient with me. The first of which is to say that we're having a big breakfast on the 5th of October at the Kirk Centre in aid of the STV Children's Appeal. So on the 5th of October, there's no need to worry about getting up having breakfast before you leave the house. You can just get yourselves up and out the door and down to the Kirk Centre. And between 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock, there'll be some breakfast and a warm welcome waiting for you. Each year, the church involves itself through the Guild and the Blythewood Christmas Shoebox Appeal. And I've got a note from Carol here just to say, we're starting our preparations for our Christmas Shoebox Sunday, which is on October the 28th. Leaflets like this have been left in the Kirk Centre at the entrance to the church and in the hall. And also at the main entrance of the church and at the Kirk Centre, there's a box which you can use to donate items, which the Guild can then use to fill shoeboxes. If you feel you are unable to make up a shoebox yourself, or if you have extra items at home which would be suitable, please pop them into these boxes. And if you've got any questions, just to see Carol. This time of year, lots of things are just getting going again. And one of the things that will be getting going in the next few weeks is our once a month evening services, our As the Sun Go Down services. And there's some leaflets that will go out about this in the next week or two. But just to highlight, these have normally been held on the first Sunday of the month. And that will continue, except for the first of them. The first Sunday of October is also Harvest Sunday, and so we felt it would be a better idea to separate the two things out. So the first of our evening services will be on the 14th of October. So if you're someone who has been used to coming to those or would like to come along, just to highlight that the first one will be the 14th, not the 7th. I've had an email from Presbytery to make you aware of an event that might interest some of you that's going to be this Thursday morning. And it's a wee note from Peter Johnston, the minister at Ferry Hill Parish Church, and I'll just read it to you. It says, "Dear all, the Scottish Government is forming a Just Transition Commission to look at how to plan for a future that has transitioned away from being a carbon-based economy, i.e. oil and gas. This has obvious ramifications for Aberdeen and the North East. At this very early stage, Adrian Shaw, the Climate Change Officer for the Church of Scotland, is holding an introductory conversation to focus on just transition for those currently working in the oil industry. And he's keen to have representatives from the church present, and this may prove to be the starting point for further work in which the Kirk could help play an important role. The The first conversation is taking place at Ferryhill Parish Church on Thursday, the 27th of September, from 10:30 a.m. Should last for about 2 hours. And I've just been asked to intimate that to you. So if anybody's interested, I can let you see the email so you can take a note of those pieces of information. Two more to go. Next Sunday is Communion Sunday, but also in the afternoon we're having a pet blessing service at 3 o'clock. And it's just to say that if any of you would like to bring your pets along, all shapes and sizes welcome, all creatures great and small, then it's 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon here in the sanctuary. Also, next weekend, we have a conference for anyone who would like to come along on the Saturday, a sort of next steps, the next chapter of our lives together as a congregation here in Cults. And it's from 10 o'clock to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you would like to come, that'd be absolutely fantastic. You'd be very, very welcome. You don't need to be an elder or part of the board. If you're just interested, please feel free to come along. The important thing you need to note is you need to bring your lunch. So if you could take a packed lunch with you, that would be great. And I'm going to leave you to read everything else because that's been quite a lot for you to take in. We are here this morning to worship God. Baptized to begin lives of faith, we would witness to all you do in our communities, in our midst, and in our world. Baptized to serve, we would speak up for the voiceless. We would bring justice to those who have none. Baptized to speak, we would heal and not hurt. We would bless and not curse. Baptized to do what is right, we would not play favorites, but treat each of us as your beloved. We stand to sing our hymn 334, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, we gather today in expectation, in anticipation of your presence among us. For as by a river long ago, you called us by name and redeemed us and placed your sign on us. We come also, Lord, in praise and thanksgiving for your goodness to us. For as in a stable long ago, you made your love real for us and lived among us and placed your faith in us. Yours is the breath which gives us life, the grace which gives us hope, the love which gives its all that we might begin again. And so we worship you for all that you have done and have still to do in and for us. Gracious God, you touch our lives in many ways. We cannot always explain or understand. You hover over us, bringing peace and encouragement. You speak to us in the gentleness of a moment. You call to us and claim us as your own, even though we are undeserving and often unheeding. Yet still we wait for you, hanging on the word of a prophet, eager by the river, fearful by the barn, hopeful at the sound of wings, for we know you are coming. Please forgive us, for despite our anticipation, we are far from ready to receive the news, far from ready to face the music, far from ready to come face to face with you. We have leapt at the chance to join you. Then our hearts, heads still wet, our eyes still dazzled, our ears still ringing with your truth, we have turned away because your words are too challenging, too revealing, too hard to live by. Tilt our heads skywards, Lord, as only you can, to see all heaven opening before us, spilling out and soothing our scarred and weary souls. Then turn us towards you, refreshed and ready, beloved and loving, fired with faith, and call again to all hope, all health, all wholeness in you. This we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So today is a very special day in our church family life. We have little William, who's going to come and be baptised. And so we have the font sitting out here at the front of the church, rather than where it normally sits, tucked away in the corner. And I wonder if anybody knows of any other ways that people are baptised. We use a font and we put water in it, but does anybody know of other ways that people might be baptised? No? You any ideas? In the river. And do you know someone special who was baptised in the river? Well, that's what you're going to learn all about just now. Jesus went to a river, and he was baptised in the river by a man named John. And where else might someone be baptised? There's some very brave people who sometimes go down to the sea to be baptised. There are some churches in Aberdeen who take grown-ups, when they decide that they want to be baptised, down to the beach, and they go into the North Sea and get baptised. I think that sounds terribly, terribly cold. And if you go and visit Hillview Church, they have a very special thing inside their church for people who want to be baptised. They have a sort of like a big bath, like a baptismal pool that you can climb down into. I had a look at it when I went for a visit, and it was like a ginormous bath that you can go in and you can be baptised there. But we use a font. And have you any idea why it's called a font? Anybody get any idea why it's called a font? No, lots of blank faces. It's called a font because it comes from the word fountain. And I thought that's a really, really lovely image to think about, our font, and that coming from the word fountain, because a fountain has got water that's almost like alive, isn't it? It's moving, just continuously moving, as if it's alive. And I think that's a really lovely image for us when we think about baptismal water, because baptismal water, when we use it, does something very, very special. It begins a person's life, a new life, a life as part of the family of God, a life as part of the church. And so I like that image of living water. So we don't have any water in our font at the moment, but I have some in this jug round here. And I'm wondering if I've got a volunteer that might like to... Oh, I knew I'd have two. Two of you want to come together. Right. Now, you're going to get this water from this jug into this font, and preferably not all over the floor. Do you think you could do that? I think what would be really nice if you could get the jug high enough so that when you pour it, that people can see it. So I think you maybe need to come round the back. Okay. And, right, I think you'll just have to trust you. Right, hold it quite high. You're going to do it together. Right. Okay. And then you're going to tip it in. So this is the living water. There you go. Just keep pouring. That's it. That we will use later in the service to baptise little William. There we go, that's lovely. Thank you very, very much. Right, now don't disappear. You know, I've just been on my holidays. Well, when I was on holiday, I visited a little town called Arborello in Italy, and I kept hearing this bird sound, and I couldn't for the life of me work out, because I couldn't see any birds. But do you know what I saw lots of? I saw lots of boys and girls with these whistles. Carol's not going to be very happy with me. So I thought, wouldn't it be really, really nice to bring you all home a little souvenir from my holidays? So there's a bag full of whistles for the kids and jam. Okay, you'll all get one, all right? Do you want to go and have a wee seat now? You can try them out and then tell me if they work at the end. Carol's going to take them now. We're going to sing a family song now, and it's one of my favourite songs. It's called Big Family of God. It's on the sheet of paper that was inside your order of service. And it's really great because it really talks about how we're all part of God's family. Some of us are big and small. Some of us have got curly hair. Some of us wear specs. We've got different coloured skins. All of us different, but we're all part of God's big family of God. Now, in the chorus, there's a little time where it just reminds us that we're all loved, and so we need to do a little action there, and it's the and you, and you, and you, and you. And so feel free, as you're singing the chorus, to turn around and point to all the people that are around you in the church. Okay, but we'll sing together the big family of God.
Some of us like being new, some of us like being new.
and you, and you, and you, and you. God loves you, God loves you. That's you, and 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 you. We're part of the big family of God. We're part of the big family of God.
Reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, and that can be found in your Good News Bible in the New Testament section on page 5. Listen for the word of God. At that time, John the Baptist came to the desert of Judea and started preaching. "Turn away from your sins," he said, "because the kingdom of heaven is near." John was the man the prophet Isaiah was talking about when he said, "Someone is shouting in the desert, 'Prepare a road for the Lord, make a straight path for him to travel.'" John's clothes were made of camel's hair. He wore a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. People came to him from Jerusalem, from the whole province of Judea, and from all the country near the river Jordan. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the Jordan. When John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him to be baptized, he said to them, "You snakes, who told you that you could escape from the punishment God is about to send? Do those things that will show that you have turned from your sins, and don't think you can escape punishment by saying that Abraham is your ancestor. I tell you that God can make these stones and make descendants for Abraham. The axe is ready to cut down the trees at the roots. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. I baptize you with water to show that you have repented, but the one who will come after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He is much greater than I am, and I am not good even enough to carry his sandals. He has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain. He will gather his wheat into his barn, but he will burn the chaff in a fire that never goes out." At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. "I ought to be baptized by you," John said, "and yet you have come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires." So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and alighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased." Thanks be to God for these his most holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Philip, for reading our gospel this morning. We stand and sing together hymn 335, "Out of the Flowing River," hymn 335.
Jesus, our Savior,
John was on a mission. Not just to get that job done so I can have a rest sort of a mission. No, for John was on a mission from God, with a capital M and a capital G. John was a messenger, and his mission to be the messenger was given to him before he was born. Astonishing as it may seem, John was a miracle baby. Now, to look at him as a man, you'd find that hard to believe. John was a bit wild, a bit unkempt. He neither lived in a house nor had a regular job like a carpenter or a merchant or even a priest. John lived out in the wilderness. He was a bit of a scavenger, really, but now, well, John's mission was coming into effect. He had prayed and prayed. He'd learned all he could about God's plan, God's great scheme to save the world, and John was honoured to be a part of it. He knew the big secret. He knew that God's promise to send a saviour was about to come true. And he, John, was sent to get the people ready. And oh boy, they needed it. John had spent many years in the wilderness, and during that time, people had not got any better. They needed someone to point them back to God's ways. They needed someone to tell them to change, to turn around. And this was his task. To persuade people to repent, to tell them to get ready for the Messiah, to make them right with God again, and to be made clean. What they needed was to be purified, washed, and renewed. So here he was walking the Jordan region, never far from the river, and people were coming to listen and to respond. Every day John was telling them all about God's plan. And every day the people repented, turned around, and came to be washed clean in the River Jordan, to be baptized. This day had begun like every other day. The people came, John talked and John prayed, and then they came down to the water for him to wash away their sins and to be made new, ready for the coming of the Lord. The day may have begun like any other, but it did not end that way. In amongst the crowd was a Nazarene, a guy from up north, and when he saw him, John stopped in his tracks. Deep in his heart, in his gut, he felt a surging. It was not the first time he'd felt that way. The first time had been 30 years ago. 30 years. But as soon as he felt it, he knew. Just as an infant in his mother's womb had leapt in recognition, John's heart leapt again. This was the man. Not just a carpenter from Nazareth, this was the man. At first, John was having none of it. I can't baptize you. I'm not worthy to touch you, to teach you. You don't need this. I need it from you. Cousin, I can't do this. His voice trailed off as Jesus looked him in the eye. It's okay, John. It's okay. For now we do as we do. It's time for fulfillment. It's time for righteousness. Come, take me down to the water, wash me, bless me. So John, son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, baptized Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph. And as he did, heaven opened and rejoiced and sang and praised God. For this was the beginning of the end of the beginning. This start of God's plan coming to fruition. And from heaven, for those who saw it, there was not just the heavenly chorus. There came a dove, the Spirit himself, a voice in the breeze. Here is my son. God was in that moment. God in Father Creator, in Son Saviour, in Spirit Breath. And those who had eyes to see and ears to hear were witnesses to the start of something big. This was a big moment. One of the few places in the Bible where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are revealed together. God acknowledges Jesus. Jesus submits to God's purpose and is empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel, we read that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. And that has significance. Doves feature heavily in the stories of the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus explains that temple sacrifices were graded according to income, and the dove being at the lower end of the scale, and so accessible to the meek and lowly. As God anoints Jesus, he is identified with the people of Israel. As the Holy Spirit empowers him, the symbolism of the dove reveals that the focus of his ministry is particularly towards the most vulnerable in society. In seeking baptism, Jesus signals his willingness to follow the path that God sets before him. And providing such wonderful affirmation in the words, "This is my own dear Son," spoken from heaven. God himself provides Jesus with the promise of his pleasure and the assurance of his love. Our own baptisms are the start of something big. Many, if not most of you here this morning, have been baptized, but not all will have. Some of us here were baptized as infants and will remember very little, if anything, about that day. Others of you may have been baptized as adults. Some Christian traditions don't do infant baptisms, whereas others, like us in the Church of Scotland, we do. Because baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Our understanding of baptism is that during the act, God is present through the Holy Spirit. And it's why in the Church of Scotland, we see it along with Holy Communion as the only two sacramental acts. Again, other traditions, particularly the Anglican and Roman Catholic traditions, have a differing view. And they have a number of other sacraments that they celebrate. But baptism is one that they share with us. And your baptism should be recognised by all churches. Certainly, if you've been baptised outside the Church of Scotland, we recognise your baptism. In our baptisms, no matter the tradition we belong to, we are locked in ourselves with a relationship with the Trinity, and we become one of the desires and dreams of God. The dreams that he has for us, our children, and his kingdom on earth. In baptism, we are set on a course that for the rest of our lives is about fulfilling. As with Jesus, God promises us the assurance of his love. Jesus' own baptism happens at the very beginning of his ministry. Up until this point, Jesus has grown up from the infant that we welcome on Christmas morning to the young man trained in his father's trade of carpentry. He was on the face of it an ordinary young man, but the ordinary was about to become extraordinary. Before I went on holiday, we spent a number of weeks considering what it means to be church. Today we celebrate in little William's baptism one of our two sacraments, and next week we celebrate the other one as we gather round the Lord's table for Holy Communion. A wonderful way for me personally to begin after a holiday. It's like the beginning of a new term, the brand new jotter with its clean, crisp pages. In William's baptism, we are reminded of the fresh start to those who came to that river in Jordan received. And we are reminded of the new beginning, the fresh start offered in our baptisms, God offering us a new beginning and a place in his church. In Jesus' baptism, God is heard to say, "This is my own dear Son with whom I am pleased." In our baptisms, God is present and offers the same blessing to us. He looks on us and says, "This is my own dear daughter or son with whom I am pleased." He takes our ordinariness and makes us extraordinary. He takes us and makes us his children. He takes each one of us and loves and cherishes us, making us not just ordinary, but extraordinary. You've probably never thought of yourselves as that, have you? "Who me?" you might be saying. "But I'm just me, nothing special," you might be thinking. But to God, you are unique. You are beautiful, precious, and beloved. God sees in you a beloved son or daughter, a precious child. That's what makes you extraordinary. God makes you extraordinary. And we have no hand in being a child of God. It's all in his will that we become his precious, beloved children. And God's love is special. A quote I often share at weddings comes from one of my favourite books, Captain Corelli's Mandolin. In the story set on the beautiful island of Kefalonia, Pelagia, one of the main characters, goes to her father to ask him for some advice about love. And he tells her this: when you fall in love, it is a temporary madness. It erupts like an earthquake and then it subsides. And when it subsides, you have a decision to make. You have to work out whether your roots are to become so entwined together that it is inconceivable that you should ever part. Because that is what love is. God's love for us is entwined in our roots, whether we know it or not, whether we want it or not. And in our baptism, we are once and for all entangled in that love. And to God, it is inconceivable that we should ever part from his love. The scope of God's love for his people is beyond comprehension. God loves each of us and shows us such grace in doing so. Because even in our most unlovely moments, God loves us. The challenge for us is to be able to demonstrate that love in our own lives. And boy, that can be hard. In a wee while, I will take William in my arms and baptize him into the family of God. I will look at his sweet face, a baby boy, yet to understand the world around him, yet to know what the world has in store for him. For the moment, all he knows is the love of his family and the security of his mummy and daddy's arms. How wonderful if we could all have his innocent world view. But alas, we don't. We know that the world is a complicated place, that not everyone experiences life in the ways that are easy. Not everyone has easy choices to make. Not everyone has the security of a loving home. And not everyone has all they need to live full and healthy lives. It's heartbreaking to witness some of the evil in our world. And so all the more important to be reminded of the love of God for his people, the love of God for each of us, a love demonstrated in the life and witness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate William's new beginning as part of God's family, hearing the story of Jesus' own baptism. And hearing the words, "This is my own dear son with whom I am pleased." And I hope when you heard those words, you hear God's voice saying afresh to you, "Here is my own dear child with whom I am pleased." Eugene Peterson in the Message and Interpretation of Jesus' Baptism puts it so beautifully. He writes, "The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove, descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice. This is my son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." You are God's children, chosen and marked by God's love, delight of God's life. With this love entwined in the roots of your very being, know it. Own it and live it. Amen. We continue to worship God in our offering. Let us pray. Lord, we bring you these, our offerings, our gifts of love, gifts to be used for your purposes. Bless them and us in all we do in your name. Amen. As we prepare to welcome little William into our church family, we sing hymn 336, Christ is our light. A special day for Sandy, Jacqueline, and little William and their whole family. Little William is just a few months old, a new life just beginning. And we come to celebrate another new beginning for him as he's come to be baptized and to begin a new life in the family of the church. Children have a special place in the church. Jesus himself said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Remember this, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And just as Jesus himself was baptized in the River Jordan, today William is to be baptized and welcomed into the fellowship and the love of God and the church. And we are the fortunate ones because we get to be the witnesses. We get to share in this moment. But as witnesses, we also have a responsibility in welcoming William and to play our part as supporters and companions in his life's journey. Our first child of love, Jesus, dwelt among us and in the strength of the Holy Spirit who touched him and blessed him. It is he who now draws us to this font. And it is he who, through this simple and yet at the same time complicated act, releases us from sin and welcomes us into a new life in his name. We are promised living water to wash us clean as we become children of God. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, our lives are watered and refreshed that we might flourish and be free to walk and run in the free abandonment and creativity of God's love. Could I ask Jacqueline and Sandy and the family to come forward? Is he fast asleep? Oh dear. You want to come up and stand beside the font? Oh, he's so sweet. He just doesn't know what's coming. Anyway, to Jacqueline and Sandy, you bring your little one, cradled in your arms and under the loving gaze of your family and friends, to be baptized into the love story of Jesus Christ. As you bring William, do you confess a faith by which you live, the Christian faith, unique in all its mystery and wonder, and of God who with us through Jesus Christ has saved us from darkness and brought us to a new life and new love?
We do.
Do you promise to tell the story of a world changed forever by the birth of Jesus Christ to William, and so with God's help, create a space for him to grow into a fuller understanding of God's love for him? And to Catherine and Simon, as William's godparents, do you promise to support Sandy and Jacqueline in the promises that they have just made?
We do.
And can I ask those of you who feel able in the congregation to please stand as a sign of the support that you are willing to offer Jacqueline and Sandy and their beautiful wee boy, William, and so do prayer, service, fellowship and love. And I'd ask you to repeat these words after me. We have grown in our faith.
In Jesus Christ throughout our lives.
And in these moments, we proclaim it anew as we welcome William. Can I take William? Hopefully he's going to stay asleep. Oh, look at you. Oh, 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 oh. Let us pray. Lord, as we bring little William to the waters of life, we ask your blessing on him and his family. May they always know your love and live in the hope that is promised to each of us through the birth of Jesus at Christmas time. May they remember this day as a special one, one that they celebrate as a complete family surrounded by those that know and love them. And may we as witnesses to this moment be blessed too. And may we share in the hope of this day and help us to remember our part in being the supporters and encouragers of this beautiful family. Our prayer is one of thanks for Sandy, Jacqueline and William for their continued happiness and the blessing that they are to us. Come now, Holy Spirit, transform this moment, transform this child and transform this place with your presence in this sacrament. Amen. William, before you were even conceived, and before you will ever understand our world and your life, was changed forever. In the arrival of the child Jesus who lived among us, growing in life like you and in God like no other, taking himself to the cross, rising to new life, which is ours forever, turning the dark nights into blessed days. And so, William, at the command of Jesus and the one in whom we love in life, we bring you to these waters of life. And I baptize you, William Robert Merson, in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, as this world is changed forever in the arrival and baptism of this child, a new world and kingdom has dawned. We welcome little William as our own, as God's own, as a child of this church. Could I maybe ask Sarah, could you come forward? And there's a Bible there. These are just a little gift from us. Do you want to give it to William's mum and dad? That's lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you. You can have a seat if you like. And we'll... take a seat, and as we take a seat, we'll sing together, "The Lord bless you and keep you." And I'm going to see William if we walk out of the church, if that's all right. You'll get him back. Okay. Maybe.
Lord, lift up his
taking it all in. We'll make our way back to the front. All these people. Very lovely. You're looking at me as if, so you put water on my face. There you go, darling. You want to go back to your mummy or to daddy? Go to daddy. There you go. You've been ever such a good boy. Do you want to take a seat? We come to our closing hymn, and a wee reminder that after the closing hymn and the blessing and the sung Amen, the Bible will be collected, and then we'll be singing together the song that I think is on a piece of card inside your hymn books. We're going to sing together, "May the God of Peace Go With Us," as the Bible's carried out of the church, and we'll sing it through twice. But for the meantime, we stand and sing hymn 112, "God, Whose Almighty Word." Is that the right number? Of our baptism be with us. May the Spirit of God descend upon us. May the love of God be entwined in our roots. May we bring good news. May we offer hope. May we build a community and pray that God is pleased with us. Go now in the blessing of God, Father, beloved Son, and inspiring Holy Spirit, with us always.